Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
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 Pretty good, yeah.
Does anybody have any interesting things going on in their lives?
Well, I moved.
Yes.
She
Both
moved.
of you.
Yes.
Surely moved. In this climate, just kidding.
Yeah,
You found a really awesome house.
I can't
Like,
wait for you all to see it.
yeah.
It's gonna be fun.
Just the like listing that you sent us, it's like really, you guys found a really good one.
Yes,
Yeah.
I would
I
say so. Yeah,
love it. I do.
yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect for what me and my boyfriend moved in together. It's perfect for what we need
Yeah.
out of a house. So I don't know. Like, our kitchen's really small. I don't cook though, and he doesn't really cook. So I think that's why a lot of people maybe were put off by it, is because of that. However, like, it doesn't matter to us if there's a small kitchen because we
Yeah,
don't really.
you don't use it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
that's fine.
So
Awesome.
it's good. I love living with my boyfriend. I
Oh, it's
know.
going well so far.
It's going really well so far. Really
Really?
well. Better than I expected it to go, honestly.
Yeah.
So
for those of you who don't know, they are so cute together.
There's I've never like seen a what like such a perfectly matched couple than you guys. It's insane. Like the moment you introduced us, I was like, yeah,
Yeah, I
this is
know.
it. This is it.
I know, right?
It's crazy how perfect you guys are for each other.
Right, and that's the thing is, like, I'm not the princess type, he's not the prince type. However, we're what we each other needs out of a partner, because I sleep a lot, and so like a lot of relationships or whatever be like, you sleep too much, and he just like is like, whatever, she needs to sleep, she needs to sleep. I'm not going to criticize her, and then so it's perfect.
He's a
Yeah.
good guy.
Yeah.
So
You
I, it's
guys are
going really
awesome.
well, and I said better than I expected, not because of him, but because obviously we
From
all
your,
know I
yeah.
was married before and that went terribly. And so I just expected it to not go as well as it did based off of past experience, not based off of him in any way.
Yeah, and it's a lot of like it's really hard moving in with somebody, even whenever you like move in with friends. Like
Yeah.
whenever I had my roommate for 3.5 years, we don't talk anymore. And it didn't end badly. It's just after you live with somebody and you turn your friend into a roommate, it's hard to go back
Yeah.
to friend. So
Yes.
like living with somebody, especially throwing money into a relationship, like whenever you have to start thinking about like groceries and bills and stuff like that, it changes your relationship and sometimes it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it's going well for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's mostly what's going on in my life.
Yay.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Not much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Same old, usual work and stuff like that for me. Yeah,
I
always.
know you all talked about this. I wasn't here yet, but there's physical copies of your book.
Oh yes. So yes, we are actually in the process of making the paperback novels for my new book that I published recently called Bad Blood. It's the first of the Peyton trilogy, book one, by Taylor Stanicek.
Currently on Amazon.
Currently on Amazon. Yes. But the paperback novels will be available very, very soon. Actually, probably
By the
it'll be
time this comes
available
out,
this, yeah, it'll be available by the time this comes out.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I cannot read ebooks. I think I've talked about this on the podcast a few times. And so as much as I love Tay, I was like, there's no way I'm gonna read this book on an ebook. And so I didn't buy it. I kept thinking, well, I'll buy it to be nice, but and I want to read it, but I'm not gonna read it electronically. So I am so excited that there's physical copies and I can
Yes.
buy one and I can actually read it. And I am so excited for this.
Oh
Yeah.
yes, I'm so excited to have, and I'll have some copies for everyone once they're ready. I'm gonna have a bunch made for the author, like, so that way I can,
And you're gonna sign mine?
Oh yeah, well, yeah, I mean,
Only yours.
only yours. I mean,
Everybody's, but
there's only
especially.
one signing that I can do for the three of you, so just you decide who you
Rock,
want it to
paper,
be.
scissors. I'm
Rock,
gonna
paper,
win.
No,
scissors.
I want to fight to the death.
Whoa.
But anyway, yes, I will have a hard copy for for each of you at the table here.
So excited. Okay, sorry.
And we're so proud of you.
It's been a journey. Yeah. It really has. It's taken a long time. You started early.
Because you started writing, were you in high school whenever you started?
Oh, actually, I started in elementary school. It was fourth grade that my my fourth grade teacher gave me a short story. Well, they gave me the first sentence of something and said, you know what, write a short story. It's for all the students. And that's when it started.
This trilogy.
No. This trilogy itself. That was my writing passion. This trilogy actually started back in high school. It is a coming of age novel, and it revolves around high school events. So it's loosely based off of, you know, experiences, things like that. But it is still a fictional story. Mm-hmm. But it started back in high school for me.
Mm-hmm. You spiced it up.
About 10, over 10 years now that I've been working on it. And for those of you who are aspiring writers, it does take a long time. Mm-hmm. You just have to be patient and work hard at it. And eventually you will get to where you want to be as a writer.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good job.
Yay.
Thank you.
Cool.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Happy First and Fridays, everybody. We are Unholy Gossip Girls. I'm Casey.
I'm Faye.
I'm Tay.
And I'm Shirley. Special guest Shirley.
What are you guys drinking?
Water. I'm drinking water.
I'm drinking water as well.
I've got my water.
Yeah. I'm drinking water air.
Water air. Photosynthesis.
I was drinking air earlier until I got my water bottle. Now I'm good.
When do we want to have our, we can talk about it off air, but I'm so excited for the holidays this year.
Oh, me too.
Just so excited. Yeah. It's my first Christmas with my baby.
Yay.
I just have had a lot of postpartum emotions, and I've just been very sentimental lately. So I'm really excited to spend time with you guys.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so excited about this. It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the time this comes out, she'll be three and a half months old.
Oh,
yep. It's crazy.
It's your baby.
I know.
Oh,
so tiny.
I know. So I used to always say goodbye when she was in your tummy. I go, okay, bye bye, baby. Love you. Mm-hmm. And now she's like out of your tummy. And I'm like,
it's so weird.
She's out.
I know.
Bye bye, baby.
It's such a weird transition. It's I'm sure it's like traumatizing for a baby to go from womb to outside world.
I'm sure.
But it's like weird for me too. It's like empty almost. You spend so long having a thing inside of you. And then it's just like all at once different. But it's good, obviously. Mm. Obviously, I'd rather her be here than be pregnant, you know?
You look miserable.
I would, being pregnant was like unfun, but like, and the whole time I was like, why do people do this? It's horrible. I'm miserable. I can't sleep. I feel like shit. All the bad things that could happen did. And I hated every second of it. But then as soon as I saw her, I was just like, I want another. Like, I want to get pregnant right now so I can have another kid. Because I was just, you know, really jacked up on hormones.
It does surprise me, though. There are mothers out there who have had more than like 3 or 4 babies. And I'm just like, wow, that's a lot of work. That takes time and energy. And that's so
much money.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but there are mothers out there who have had so many babies. And
it's the hormones. It's the hormones. Mm-hmm. I was putting away her last newborn outfit today for storage. This week. And I was just like, well, gotta save this for my next kid, even though we have no idea if we're gonna have another kid or not.
Just in case.
Yeah. just in case. Better save everything. Mm-hmm. These old bottles, my maternity clothes, save it all.
Oh.
Babies are so cute.
They are.
All right. Should we get started, Shirley?
I am very nervous. It's been a little bit. Also, I'm nervous every time regardless, but
you always do fine.
Been a bit. I worked hard.
Good.
So I hope we all like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay.
Okay. 2 days before Christmas, on the morning of December 23rd, 2015, police were called to the DeBates Ellington home on Birchview Drive. There they found Richard DeBate tied to a metal folding chair while lying on the kitchen floor. Minutes later, the lifeless body of Connie DeBate, who had been shot in the head and abdomen, was discovered in the basement.
Jeez. Wait, was he alive?
Yes.
Oh, but tied to a chair?
Yes.
Okay.
Richard DeBate told state police he dropped off his two boys at school that morning and headed to work. But he turned back when he realized he had forgotten his laptop. The alarm on his home pinged that there was a problem. He returned to the house and heard a noise upstairs. Assuming it was just a family cat, he went to investigate. He encountered an intruder who was going through his bedroom. DeBate said the man's voice sounded like the actor Vin Diesel.
It was him.
It was Vin Diesel. Yes, of course.
That kook.
That kook.
Oh my gosh, I can't. Okay. The intruder threatened him with a knife and demanded his wallet and PIN number for his bank cards. Connie DeBate had gone to a local gym but returned home because the class was canceled. Richard DeBate said when he heard his wife return home, he alerted her that someone was in the house. He said he believed she was trying to save him by going for his guns, which were in the basement of the home. Connie DeBate was then shot by one of the guns in the head and abdomen.
One of his guns that she went to go get?
Yes.
Okay.
Whoa. Mm. Okay.
All right.
Well, that was Richard DeBate's story.
Yep.
But when the police investigated, they found based on electronic evidence, including his cell phone and alarm, it seemed Richard DeBate never tried to go to work the morning his wife was killed. There were no items taken from the home, and Richard DeBate's wallet was found in the yard, its contents intact. When a police dog sniffed for the intruder's scent, the dog went straight to DeBate. Connie DeBate had a Fitbit that recorded movements for nearly an hour after her husband claimed she was killed by an intruder. The police also found out DeBate was having an affair at the time, and his mistress was pregnant with their child.
Hang on. Go back to the Fitbit. It was Connie's Fitbit?
Yes.
Was recording movement for an hour after he claims she died?
Yes.
Was the Fitbit on her?
Yes.
Ah. Okay.
Okay.
What a fucking dumbass. My God. Why are... Yes. Okay.
The police also found out DeBate was having an affair at the time and his mistress was pregnant with their child.
Mm.
DeBate told investigators that Connie already knew about the affair, but that was yet another lie that the cops unwound. They found that Connie had made a list of reasons for wanting a divorce, and infidelity was not on the list. Infidelity. So it's black and white. I do have some pictures, though, of Connie and Richard.
She do so much better.
We always say it, and it's true.
Yeah.
She's so pretty.
She looks like Britney Spears.
I could see that.
A woman who can pull off a turtleneck. Like, come on.
Yes.
That's true. A hard thing to pull
that
off.
That is hard to pull off, yes.
Ugh, he looks like a creep.
We're so...
It's always the husband. I'm just going to say it in every instance. And even if it's not, fuck him. He cheated on her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Eventually, investigators compiled so much evidence that... It wasn't all turned over to the court until July of 2018.
What year was this starting?
It was December 23rd, 2015.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so 2.5 years later.
That's crazy.
That's how much. Well, yeah. Wow. Just as a jury was impaneled in March 2020, the COVID pandemic shut down Connecticut courts and delayed the case so much that a new jury eventually had to be selected.
Okay.
And let's take a quick break now.
Okay, we'll be right back. And we're back.
Hello.
We just went on a bunch of tangents off air.
Yes, we did.
It's true.
About Teen Mom. My name is Earl.
Breaking Amish.
Yeah.
I can't.
I don't know how we got here, but we're here. Okay.
But anyway, from that last, the last thing you had said previously about the them changing out the jury, that it is time consuming. That can be,
Fuji.
I think the puppy sees something outside.
What do you see, buddy? It's okay.
But anyway, what I was saying was that they were needing to change out the jury because it was taking so long. That in its own process can be so time consuming and ridiculous. It's quite an ordeal. So yeah, just wanted to say that.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever gone to jury duty?
I have. I've never been on like a group, never but I have selected. Been called. Yeah, I've never been selected. But the time that I was, called in, they had to actually let me go because I was at the time working at the DA's office. I was a legal assistant for a short while. So
you were too close to it.
Yes, I think so. But I haven't been called since. And I assume maybe it's because like, it's just, they don't want me in the pool anymore because, you know, like I have too much experience in the,
I've only been called twice.
Well, maybe it was just, it just so happened to be at that time. Cause that was over 3-4 years ago now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many times have you been called?
I was called once, but I didn't even get interviewed.
Yeah. How about you?
I got 2 or 3 times.
Whoa.
So when the first time I went to the house and then they said only these numbers need to stay, everybody else go. So
I've
then
never
that happened.
Heard anyone refer to the courthouse as the house.
The house. It's the house. I've heard it called the big house.
I went to the house.
I went to the courthouse.
Yeah.
And then the 1 or 2, I'm pretty sure it was 2 other times I just called in and they said you don't have to come in.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time I called in and I didn't have to go. And the second time I went to the house, waited all day. And then at the very end, they had settled it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they didn't end up needing the jury.
They made a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been told that very, very few. I mean, from my own experience, they act. Yeah. It's so time consuming and expensive that. They usually just want to settle it at the table before, you know, they have to take it to trial. So,
yeah,
I think 80 to 90% are solved before, you know, are taken care of beforehand. So,
wow. Yeah. So for a divorce, and my divorce didn't even have like a ton of stuff that went into it. There were no kids or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried, you know, did the mediation, whatever, whatever. And then two, basically for my lawyers to prepare to go to court and then actually go and the people I'd have to pay and everything, it was going to be $4,000 for that aspect.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, and there wasn't a whole lot to it, but it was going to be about $4,000 between everybody's time.
So if like I were to get divorced and me and my husband just like decided all we need to do is end the marriage and we didn't need to split up, like just say it was like the easiest divorce ever,
mm-hmm.
would you still have to pay all that money?
No, so we didn't even have to get lawyers if we didn't fight over the whole debt situation. You don't have to get a lawyer to get divorced. However, I think you do generally need a mediator.
Okay.
I think that's true. Yeah. Think you do need at least a mediator for.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think technically you can even like write up your own divorce documents, go to a notary,
mm-hmm.
have them notarize it, submit it to the court, and then the court will say, okay, yeah, this is fine. Or they'll say, no, I don't, this isn't fine.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and then if you have a prenup, there's a lot of stuff that you don't have to do that you have to do if you're getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'm not planning on getting
divorced. She likes this information just in case.
We have a house and a kid together. I think that'd be so much work. Also, I do like him, so
he's a good guy.
Oh my god. The amount of like he helped me so much after I gave birth that just like I was expecting him to, but like he really went above and beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good husband.
I mean, like this is not the same. However, moving mm-hmm. was, you know, there's just a lot that goes into moving.
And it's stressful.
It is. And like, you know, my boyfriend has helped me like with everything. Like mm-hmm. I mostly packed, but he packed up my kitchen. Mm-hmm. He's helped me every time I went to my parents to get stuff, because I had movers, but they mostly moved the furniture, which is what I had always planned, because mm-hmm. I wasn't gonna be carrying that up the stairs. This wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. But like every time I went to my parents to get boxes or whatever, he's always come with me. He's helped me load it. He's helped me unload it. Mm-hmm. He's helped me get like my stuff organized in the house to where I want it to be. We put together the couch. I thought of your table experience a lot.
That was all me. I just got really frustrated.
Well, sometimes it's a little frustrating.
Yeah,
but he's stuck in
my husband's toxic trait is he doesn't like people telling him what to do, even whenever it's literally instructions.
It's such a manly thing. That is so like, yeah,
mm-hmm. It's a toxic trait.
It's a guy thing.
So yeah, me, for sure. Me gently telling him this table will not fit through this door frame. We should probably take the legs off. And me telling him that, nope, we are going to try every way possible in the rain before we finally take the fucking legs off the table.
Which took like 1 minute each.
Yes.
Probably.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's so, I mean, that is going to, yes, it's a guy thing. I don't know why, but we typically just have this like, we have this need to prove that we can do something without needing to take this certain step. Yeah.
Well,
so, I'm very fortunate because he was trying to just kind of figure it out on his own. And I was like, okay, I guess we need to do this here. I guess it needs to go this way. And he wasn't listening. And then I was like, hey, listen, there's instructions right here. This is what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
So I just had to give him like one, good, like focus. Exactly.
What a good patient man.
I know.
Yeah, that's definitely my husband. Even whenever he's reading instructions, doesn't like that. He gets so frustrated. So anytime I've learned, if like he bought bookshelves for the basement, I just like let him stay down there by himself all day.
Yes.
I didn't even talk to him. Just let him be fucking pissed by himself. And it was good. You know, I'm not going to get
eventually
involved.
He figured it out.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very fortunate that like after I got his attention, mm-hmm. he was willing to go through the instruction manual. I really appreciated that. So he's great. I love him.
Yeah. My toxic trait is I want things done immediately after I think of them being done. I'm like, I need the dishes to be done right now. And if I ask you to do it and you don't do it right now, I'm going to do it and then be mad at you.
Yep.
Yep. It's very, very toxic.
I have some of that too.
Yeah.
So
what about you, Faye? What's your toxic trait?
I don't know. I don't like being in control of anything. I like being told exactly what to do. So I'm like the opposite of your husband. Mm. Like if I'm not given like down to the very last detail instructions, mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to do it because mm-hmm. I don't want to do it wrong.
Yeah, oh, that makes sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like fear of failure, yeah. Messing up. What about you?
For me, I would probably say it's something similar to yours. That's like, you know, my mind is constantly wanting perfection. If mm-hmm. if I do something, I'm gonna do it to the best of my abilities and do it right because I don't know. I was trained very early on from my parents and grandparents never to do like a half-assed job. So it turned me into this person who's always wanting to be organized over the top and mm-hmm. yeah, so
that's probably crazy,
but it's like over the top. Yeah.
I don't know, your closet is beautiful.
Thank you.
I think about it all the time. Anytime I organize something, I'm like, this is nice, but it's never gonna look like Taylor's closet.
Having a roommate every now and then too, I drive them crazy to a point they just don't want to stay anymore because I'm just like, are you gonna put that dish in the dishwasher? Are you gonna clean that pot? And they're like, well, I just made food. I'm like, well, isn't it nice to like clean
the first bite?
I know. But isn't it great to clean it before you eat? I always say that.
No, I do.
I do too. Though.
Yeah. Being on maternity leave while my husband was working was really rough for me. I cleaned the kitchen like right after him every single time he left the kitchen.
Yep, that's me. Yeah.
Well, part of my problem is I procrastinate. So by the time I feel like I have enough energy or time or whatever it may be, I'm like, this needed to be done 5 weeks ago. It needs to get done this second.
Mm.
So that's why mine is the way it is. Different reasons than you two.
Yeah, I just like, I think it, I read somewhere, it was like a 2 minute rule. It was like, if this task can take less than, or maybe it's 5 minutes. If this task can take less than 5 minutes, don't put it off. So it's like, if I can do this before I go do this, I might as well just do it right now.
Instead that's my of, mindset too.
Yeah, instead yes. of doing it tomorrow or whatever.
Ideally.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hate procrastination. I've always been that way.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, it's like back in high school and college when you had to write those essays and stuff and you're like, you have 3 weeks to do it. Some people would put it off to the last minute. I was like, day one, I'm like, all right, let's get the first 5 pages knocked out. And then day two, the next five. And, you know, I was that person.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not as bad as you. You are super type A.
It's a gift and a curse. Yeah. Sometimes I hate it.
I would say I'm like a minus, type A-.
But she is very, very organized. I love her setup.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm into cluttercore, if you can tell by my
office. She absolutely, yeah. But she does such a great job of it.
It's organized mess.
Yeah.
I know where everything is.
That's true.
It's all you need.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Okay, story.
Back to the story.
So the jury, yes, they had to change the jury out.
Yeah.
Yes. The new jury heard from, I just felt like I need to put the word new. Okay. The jury. Does it say the new jury? The jury heard from more than 130 witnesses and saw more than 600 pieces of evidence.
Wow.
Faced with having to prove there was no intruder, the attorney in charge of prosecuting debate, Matthew Gadansky, going with it, built a case on electronic evidence. That evidence came from the couple's alarm system, cell phones, emails, Facebook posts, and messages, and movements recorded by the victim's Fitbit, gaining national attention for the case as the Fitbit murder.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm, yep.
Yep.
So this one has a nickname. Okay.
I love that.
The Fitbit murder. All right. Debate's legal team attempted to defend him by questioning the accuracy of the Fitbit data and claiming that investigators didn't consider other potential suspects. That being said, though, he didn't get arrested till spring of 2017. So, like, you know, it was over a year later before they even arrested him. I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like they didn't rush. They are making it sound like, oh, they rushed to this. I don't think that they rushed.
Yeah,
the justice system takes a long time.
It really does. Yeah. I mean, some of the cases, they could go on for years, and it's something as like they should be, you know, done really quick, but they take a long time working on them.
Yeah, I have a friend who got in a car accident, and it's 2 years later. I mean, I know part of it's COVID times, but 2 years later, he finally went to court to talk about this car accident to say this person should pay me money for my medical bills. It's their fault.
Damn.
2 years.
It's just how our system works. I mean, then again, in some cases, it can be great in the idea that, you know, some people, you know, are not actually guilty. They are, in fact, innocent, and it can give them enough time to, you know, figure that out, too. So,
That being said, though, some people know it's such a long process, they aren't willing to, like, go to the police and pursue it because they just know how much time and effort and energy is going to go into it. So they decide not to pursue stuff that maybe would be something they should pursue.
Oh, I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe that, yeah.
I have a friend who unfortunately was sexually assaulted. I actually have a few people I know who were sexually assaulted majorly and did not go to the police because they just didn't want to have to deal with it taking years
and that's if they even did anything about it, you know,
right? Because a lot of times they do just dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one friend, she went to the police and she even gave them like the sample and everything, and they're like,
she did like a rape kit.
Yeah, she did like that whole thing, and
those are so traumatized. I've never done one, but I've Yikes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's a lot. They like comb your hair and like,
yes,
it's a lot.
So she did that. And then they told her, like, honestly, since you have no proof that it wasn't consensual, it's probably not going to go all the way through. I mean,
from my own experiences back at the DA's office, I do remember the reason why a lot of rape victims don't end up, like, you know, taking this, like, to the, you know, to where they should is because not only because it's, like, time consuming, but it's also the fact that it drags them through the process for months to years. And that means that they have to not, like, just relive it, but think about it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on their mind, and who wants to, you know,
and, like, it's constantly horrible. Be
reminded,
confronting their person that did it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's just so I understand. It's terrible. And it's horrible.
It's all hard. It's all hard. Anyway, the justice system. I mean, there's no
right or wrong way to be a victim. We're just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. It's true. I totally understand. I mean, I made an offer in the end of my divorce, even though it was an unfair situation because I didn't want to drag it out. So for somebody having to do with something so much more personal than just a divorce, I have no judgment if you decide not to pursue that, because just the divorce took so much out of me, so much. So the justice system. Anyways, this one was like 6 to 7 years or something.
Wow.
But we'll go on. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right in the middle of that. Okay. Anyway, let's go. Eight of Connie DeBate's family members and friends stepped up to the prosecutor's desk to tell Klatt about their loss. Okay, wait. Let me double check this, because now I'm... Yes, that's the judge's name. It's Klatt. Okay. There we go. To tell them about their loss. The murder left a gaping hole in their lives and traumatized them and DeBate's own sons, they said. They described Connie as a generous, caring person and loving mother with a good sense of humor. She worked to help family members with medical problems and lifted people's spirits with her words and actions. Marie Shaw said, "The killer has no remorse. For almost 7 years, our family has been in fear of our lives." Some relative, like Connie's other sister, refused to say Richard's name. She only called him the murderer or the killer. She said all but $6.24 of Connie's money disappeared after her death. It was not even enough to buy a shirt, shoes, or backpack for her or her two sons. It doesn't elaborate on that, so I don't know if it was for lawyer's fee, and technically it was like shared money, and maybe the guy should have just taken the deal and provided for his sons, or like what that was about. But like, I feel for that. Like, it's just disrespectful. Anyway, Richard DeBate's story then: intruder came into the house and killed their mother, made the boys believe they were not safe. Even in their own home, said Tom, Leslie's husband, where the boys moved in spring of 2017, said that one Christmas after her sister's death, one of Connie's son asked her, "Aunt Leslie, do you know what I want for Christmas?" She said she thought he was going to ask for a toy. He said he told her, "I want my mom back for 3 days or 3 hours."
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, sad.
How old were the boys?
I think they were fairly young, but they're school age.
Awful.
Yeah. Gdansky said DeBate staged the killing, pretending an intruder did it because his girlfriend was pregnant with his baby. She was due about 8 weeks after Connie DeBate's death, and she had the baby in February is when it was. This was a cold myth.
What Sorry.
Just happened?
Sorry, my phone went off.
Oh, I thought you were supposed to be on airplane.
It is now.
Oh.
I thought it was. Yeah. Must have come off during the break time. Sorry,
I'm just
everybody.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yes, mother.
Yes, mother.
Sorry. I'm just kidding. Sarcasm. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. This was a cold, methodical plan to avoid the consequence of his infidelity. Mm-hmm. Before the sentencing, DeBate proclaimed his innocence. "I'm here before you as an innocent man," he told the judge. He said his wife was killed by an unknown individual during a home invasion. "I will never stop fighting for justice for my wife, Connie, who I think about every single day." Mm. Right.
Because her ghost is tormenting him, I bet.
Good. I hope so.
Good.
I hope Good. So. But after 6.5 years, a jury convicted DeBate of murder, lying to investigators, and tampering with evidence. Calling it a brutal, calculating, and incomprehensible act, Judge Corrine Klatt sentenced the 46-year-old Ellington resident in State Superior Court in Rockville, whatever, to 60 years for murder and 5 years for tampering with evidence. She also sentenced him to 1 year, which will run concurrently, for making a false statement to police. So he could potentially get out when he's 102 years old.
Mm.
Yep.
We'll see him then. I'll beat him up.
Yeah. F that guy up. Okay. Sorry. 110 years old. 110 years old. Hmm. 12 years old. Something like that. The sentence falls a year shy of the maximum that family and friends had called for during their hearing. DeBate's lawyer, Trent Lima, signaled that he plans to appeal. He tried to get his client released on an approval bond before the prosecutor. Tallinn State's attorney, Matthew Gdansky, noted that the law does not allow appeal bonds in murder cases. "The evidence in this case was strong, and it was made even stronger by the defendant's motive," Gdansky said after the sentencing in a written statement. "With the judge's sentence today, Connie's family and friends are now able to get some measure of justice for her senseless murder. Mr. DeBate will now be held responsible for this cold and heinous act."
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My sources are CT Insider. Richard DeBate gets 65 years in CT Fitbit murder, but nothing will bring Connie back, family says, by Christine Dembski. And that was on August 18th, 2022. And also NY Daily News, husband sentenced to 65 years for killing wife in Fitbit murder by Joseph Wilkinson. And that was August 18th, 2022. So same day.
New York, I bet Daily Fitbit's Times. Real mad about this. They're calling it the Fitbit murder.
I never even thought about that.
I'd be so mad.
Mm. Yeah. I hope Fitbit sued him.
Yeah.
They should have.
It's just another blow. Yeah.
Only had $6 in his bank account, though.
Fitbit owns that. After his kids.
Right.
Wow. So, interesting story.
But the idea of justice. So it was like, that's what you were reading about how, it's not going to bring the person back, but, you know, 60 years is going to be the rest of the person's life. How does the family feel about that? You know, it's one of those things where does it do anything for them? I mean,
Oh, sorry.
No, no, you're good. You're good. Yeah.
Well, just through any experience I've had like this, I feel like it's hard to really start getting over the death until penalty or whatever is read. And after that, you finally allow yourself to start getting through the emotions and stuff.
And especially for the kids, if they were worried that it was an intruder, I mean, that whole time they were probably just petrified that the intruder was going to come back for them.
The Vin Diesel voice intruder.
Yeah. Vin Diesel's coming for me, familia.
So the idea of stopping someone and knowing that he or she is off the street, can't do it ever again.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, yes, that does make sense.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at justice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good story.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, follow us on social media. We're on Holy Gossip Girls on Facebook and Instagram, at Girls Unholy on Twitter. Email us what you guys are doing for the holidays at unholygossipgirls@gmail.com. Check out our merch. Leave us a voicemail. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And that's it. We'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.